Our Bible study takes us to Hebrews chapter 13 as we conclude a series we began several weeks ago on foundations. Enjoying consistent, successful spiritual growth necessitates that we dig deep and develop components in our spiritual foundation. We've considered our relationship with God, trusting in God, repentance, humility, the conscience, dying to self, the filling of the Spirit, spiritual discipline, knowing Christ. To these, in Hebrews 13, let's add contentment. Contentment. In his devotional, New Morning Mercies, a daily gospel devotional, Pastor Paul David Tripp wrote this thought. It's rather lengthy. I've put it on the screen so you can follow along as I read it, but it's very poignant. He said, every day of your life, you will find reasons to complain. And every day of your life, you will find reasons to be thankful. These two themes, complaint and gratitude, pull at the heart of each of us. They form fundamentally different ways of viewing yourself. Complaint really is an identity issue. If you have placed yourself in the center of your world, if you have reduced your active field of concern down to the small confines of your wants, your needs, and your feelings, if it really is all about you, then you will live an entitled, I deserve, you fill in the blank, attitude. And because you do, you will have constant reason to complain. You will be constantly focused on what you want. You will have an inflated sense of what you need, and you will be all too conscious of how you feel, so you will grumble your way through life. Why? You will grumble because the reality is that you are not at the center. Life is not about you. The universe doesn't operate to satisfy your desires. It is a dark and discouraging way to live. But if you humbly admit that as a sinner you deserve nothing but God's wrath, that in acts of outrageous grace he has turned his face of mercy and kindness toward you, and that every good thing in your life is an undeserved blessing, you will find reasons to be grateful everywhere you look. Feelings of need and thankfulness rather than entitlement and disappointment will fill your heart. The dichotomy presented by Pastor Tripp in this excerpt, which he refers to as complaint and gratitude, deals with this issue of contentment. Contentment is a quality not often seen in our world. However, complaint is seen in abundance. While our society declares a me-first philosophy, it is this very philosophy that is sending us to ruin. Discontentment will erode the spiritual foundation of your life and leave you lacking spiritual maturity and effectiveness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible declares these words, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 13 then progresses to reveal specific examples of acceptably serving God in recognition of God's kingdom, which we have the privilege to be a part of by virtue of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the new covenant that is offered to us. We're exhorted to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then the penman of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 13 how we can do that. Warren Wiersbe summarized Hebrews chapters 11 through 13 this way. He said, "The emphasis in this last section of the book is on living by faith. The writer presented the great examples of faith in Hebrews 11 and the encouragements to faith in Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 13, he presented the evidences of faith that should appear in our lives if we are really walking by faith and not by sight. One of those examples of acceptably serving God, or evidences, as Warren Wiersbe put it, is contentment. We need to develop contentment as a critical component of our spiritual foundation. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." As we look at God's word this evening, I want to show you from Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, three steps that we need to take if we're going to live with contentment. If we're going to develop contentment as an essential component of our spiritual foundation. Number one is this: we need to reject covetousness. Reject covetousness. Did you see what he said at the beginning of verse number 5? Let your conversation, your lifestyle, your way of life be without covetousness. The reality, friends, is that living with contentment requires that we confront the covetousness often present in our lives as demonstrated by our actions and our attitudes. Though we may not even notice the covetousness or excuse it if we see it there, God tells us to reject covetousness in our lives. The story is told of a pilot who every time he flew over a specific spot in the Appalachian Mountains would look down at a stream running through the mountains. On one occasion, as he was making this flight, his co-pilot looked over at him in curiosity and said, "Why are you always looking down at this stream? What's so interesting about this spot?" The pilot replied, "You see the stream? Well, when I was a kid, I used to fish in that stream. And every time I heard a jet flying overhead, I would look up and wish that I was up there flying. And now that I'm up here flying, I look down and wish I was down there fishing." Isn't that the way it often goes in our lives? We're often looking to what we don't have or what we can't do or aren't doing at the time. It is a clear indication of living with covetousness rather than contentment. We tend to be easily discontented, always wanting more of, less of, or different whether it is our looks, our belongings, our relationships, our job, you fill in the blank. We often find reasons to be less than satisfied. But living with contentment requires that we confront the covetousness in our lives. In your actions, reflect on your actions, your speech, your behavior, your habits. Is covetousness or contentment what you find there? Consider, do your actions demonstrate covetousness? Is there a constant attraction to the things that you do not have? Is there complaining about what is missing from your life? Is there a history of setting yourself above others or pushing past others? Are you consumed with talking about things? Are your conversations characterized about talking about things? Do you prioritize what will better your situation over the more important things of life, such as God, ministry, family, and relationships? What story do your social media pages tell? Would they demonstrate you to be a person who is content or covetous? The answers to all of these questions and others like them reveal the covetousness present in our lives that needs to be confronted in our actions. But I want you to also think about the covetousness in your attitudes. Ultimately, contentment or covetousness is a matter of the heart. It's not about what you have or don't have. It's not about the circumstances that you're facing or that you find yourselves in. Ultimately, whether you are content or covetous is a matter of your heart. The actions are simply an outflow of the attitude. Think about this statement. Your life is a reflection of what you love, or your life is a reflection of what you live for. Think about that for just a moment. Your life is a reflection of what you love. Your life is a reflection of what you live for. In your heart, is there contentment or covetousness? This reality brings into view the truth that contentment or lack of contentment is not a matter of circumstances, what is true or not true of your life, but a matter of the settled condition of the heart or lack thereof. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Ultimately, whether or not you live with contentment is about whether or not your heart is settled, at peace with things as they are. It's not about what you have or don't have. If we are going to live with contentment, we need to reject the covetousness. We need to confront the covetousness of our actions and attitude head on and expel it from our lives. And then secondly, we need to remain content. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. If you're going to live with contentment, you need to confront covetousness head on and reject it, expel it from your life. But then you need to determine to remain content. The reality is that all of us experience ebbs and flows of life, right? There are times in life where you have an abundance. what you need and more than what you need. Likely, for those of us here and many listening to the message online, that is the majority of the time of our lives, where we have what we need and more than what we need. But life does ebb and flow. There are times we have less. There may be times in your life, maybe you find yourself in that place right now where you wonder where the next dollar is going to come from, how that bill is going to be paid, how your needs are going to be met, how your relationship will survive. There are ebbs and flows of life. Circumstances change. Job situation changes. Relationships change. Determine to be content. The simplicity of this statement to remain content through all the ebbs and flows of life further establishes that contentment is not about what you have, but it is a choice that you make. Paul said in Philippians 4, 11 and 12, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul's experience is reminiscent of our experiences. Not that I have faced the same challenges as the Apostle Paul. Not that I have found myself in his exact circumstances, but I have experienced ebb and flow in life. I've experienced highs and I've experienced lows. I have experienced times of being on the mountaintop and times of being in the valley. How about you? Living with contentment is not about whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley. It's not about whether you're at a high or a low. It's not about what the circumstances happen to be at the present moment. Contentment is a determination. It is a choice that we make that we can live with contentment no matter what we experience in life. But the reality is, many Christians live by feelings and not by faith. What does this look like? When we live by feelings, I'm happy when everything is great and devastated when things are not. But if I'm living by faith, I can say with the Apostle Paul that I'm content in whatsoever state I am. Now, that's not to say there won't be times of happiness and grief, but it is to say that I am settled in contentment when I am living by faith rather than feeling. When I have determined by God's grace to be content in whatever state I find myself, I can have that settled peace of heart and mind, knowing that I am where God would have me to be, knowing that the circumstances that are present in my life are ordained by God and He is using them to accomplish His purpose in my life. Are you living by faith or by feeling? I can live in faith and contentment by reflecting on God's provision in the past, looking back to see the times that God has been faithful to meet the need to provide grace and strength by recognizing God's provision in the present. I would challenge you, if you find yourself in one of those difficult times where the challenges and the circumstances are mounting against you, and you've perhaps been living by feeling rather than by faith, You've been experiencing worry and anxiety. You've been experiencing sleeplessness due to worry and anxiety. You've been experiencing fear. You've been experiencing a lack of joy, a lack of peace. I would challenge you to sit down and evaluate your situation and find the places, the ways in which God is providing for you even right now in the present. We can live in faith and contentment by reflecting on God's provision in the past, recognizing God's provision in the present, and resting in God's provision for the future. I know that God has been faithful in the past. He has met the need. He's provided the strength. He's provided the grace. I know that if I sit down and look at my situation currently, that I will see the ways in which God is providing the strength and the grace and the need even now in the present, because those things are true and I have the promises of His Word. I can rest in God's provision for the future. I don't need to fear what may be, what may come, what might be just around the corner. I can rest in God's provision for the future. Reject covetousness, confront it head on, and reject it. Remain content, determined to live contented no matter what may come. And then thirdly, renew confidence. Renew confidence. Look at the last part of verse number 5 and then into verse number 6. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That word boldly in verse 6 is an expression of confidence and courage. We can experience confidence and courage when we find our sufficiency in Jesus Christ. How can I live in contentment even through all the ebbs and flows of life? How can I live with that settled heart of peace, live in faith rather than by my feelings? Where do you find your sufficiency? Is your sufficiency in yourself, your own wisdom, your own strength, your own resources? Is your sufficiency in that job, in the paycheck, in the relationship, in a family member, in a friend or an associate, in a spiritual leader? Where do you find your sufficiency? You will not be able to live courageously and confidently unless your sufficiency is Jesus Christ. Make Jesus your all in all. Reject the covetousness. Remain content. Renew your confidence by placing your sufficiency in Jesus Christ. We are challenged in this passage to remember His presence. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And in verse number 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Friends, the reality is you will face some big problems in life. Have you yet? Is there anyone here who has never faced a big problem? If you haven't, you will. If you haven't yet, it's probably right around the corner. You're going to face some big problems in your life. But when you face big problems, you can be confident and courageous when you remember that your God, who is much bigger than the problem, is with you. There's a song entitled "Lean on Me," and it says in the lyrics, "When no one cared about me if I should live or die, and no one bothered asking why I'd go alone and cry, when burdens got so heavy that I could not face the day, then I'd feel his arms around me, and I'd hear him gently say, 'Lean on me when you have no strength to stand. When you feel you're going under, hold tighter to my hand. Lean on me when your heart begins to bleed, when you come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need.'" How true that is. When you come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need. Is your sufficiency Jesus Christ? Renew your confidence by remembering his presence and then also by remembering his provision. God has promised to be with us, but he has also promised to exercise his power on our behalf. He is our helper. And because of that, we can say, "I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Verse number 6 is a quotation from Psalm 118, verse number 6, where David declared the same thing. "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me." God has promised to be with us, but he has also promised to exercise his power on our behalf. When you are struggling to find contentment in your present circumstances, remember that God has promised himself and his resources to meet you where you are and care for you. Do not be afraid, but rather rest confidently and courageously in the promises of God. Because as we know, God never breaks a promise. Every good promise that he's ever made, he has always been faithful to keep, and he always will be, because they are made by a God who cannot lie. He never goes back on his word. He never forgets. He never neglects his child. Like the Old Testament Saint Job, there may be times where you would testify, "I look on the right hand and I don't see him. I look to my left and he's not there. I look up, I look down, I look out, I look in, and I don't see him." But in confidence, Job said, "But he knoweth the path that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." There may be times in your life where, because of those changing circumstances, the ebb and flow of life, you look about and it's difficult to see God, and you're tempted to anxiety and worry, to live by feeling rather than by faith. It may be a time of fear. It might be a time of questioning and concern. In those moments, you remember his presence. You remember his provision and live in confidence and courage as you trust God and make Jesus Christ all your sufficiency. If we're going to enjoy successful, consistent spiritual growth, it requires that we develop contentment at the core of our being. at that spiritual foundation. If you're going to develop contentment, you need to reject covetousness. Confront the habits, the actions, and the attitudes of covetousness in your life and in your heart, and reject them. Confess covetousness as a sin to God, because that is what it is. Ask for His forgiveness. And allow God, by His Spirit and His Word, to renew your mind and heart. Remain content. Life is going to throw some curveballs your way. If you haven't learned that by now, I'm not sure there's much hope, but it will. Contentment is not dependent upon your circumstances. It's not dependent upon what you have or don't have. It's not a matter of just a little bit more and then I'll be content. No, contentment is a matter of the heart, a settled condition of the heart that has chosen, that has determined by God's grace and the power of His Holy Spirit, that I am going to be content in whatever state I find myself. And then renew confidence. Find the confidence and courage that comes when you remember God's presence and remember His provision. How you view yourself in God will dictate your actions and your attitudes. What is demonstrated in your life? Contentment or covetousness? Gratitude or complaint? Let's determine to develop contentment as a key spiritual component through rejecting covetousness, remaining content, and renewing confidence.